Well, I don't say it as often as the pastor, but that is one of my favorite songs. We might have to switch that to the theme song, you know, the journey and the road and cheer up, my brother. I like that. Live in the sunshine. You ought to be spelled S-O-N, shine, but that's all right. Live in the sun. Wow. And live in his light. So we're going to learn more about that this morning. So that gets my blood pumping. Thank you for picking that out and singing that. That's great. All right. Well, our scripture this morning is Genesis 37, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. We're just going to read the first 10 verses of Genesis 37, and it gives us the story of Joseph. And so, if you're able, if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we'll look at Genesis chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. The kid that couldn't do anything right, everything he did, they hated him more than more. Wow. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" The kid didn't learn, but he just did speak what God gave him in a dream. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you this morning, and we just ask you to impress upon us this morning the importance of faith, faithfulness, and forgiveness as key essentials to our successful journey. Lord, you have put us on paths in each our individual lives to be on, and you desire to guide us. So help us to grow in our faith, Lord, that we would be able to receive and understand your commandments, that we would seek to share our faith of your salvation with others. Oh, Lord, we desire to be faithful to you through the burdens and the blessings that you let us go through in our walk with you. Oh, Lord, I pray this morning we would learn to forgive others just as Christ has forgiven us. Thank you for doing that. And Lord, just help us to acknowledge your eternal purpose in our lives, that we would look to you for guidance along our journey. Bless each one that came. Pray that you'd help me to get out of the way this morning and speak to your people's hearts as they prepare a fertile soil to receive your word. We ask it in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So, the journey to Egypt, and just a lot packed just in those scriptures. We see, you know, the 17 years old, his life got kind of rough, you might say. Goodness gracious. Some bad stuff. I didn't even think of it till just now, but as we relate to the HRC ministry and, you know, the slavery that kids are being sold into. You know, they talk about 12-year-olds. You know, 17, you're not much older or more mature even than you are at 12. And it's kind of hard to picture something like that happening. Your own brothers, you know, and we'll look at that. There's another sickly boy, Horatio Nelson. Lived in the late 1700s there in the 18th century, England. As the nephew of a sea captain, he hoped one day to follow his uncle's example. Because Nelson's health was weak, his uncle was reluctant to take him on voyages. The death of his mother left him in the care of his uncle. Traveling on ship, he often became ill. His weak health finally forced Horatio to go home for a rest. But he was resolved to make his life worthy. He was promoted quickly to commander of a British ship, the Agamemnon. Actually said that right, believe it or not. Commander Nelson fought in battle after battle. He was always true to his mission in life, that his life should be worthy. Some sea battles were won, some were lost. During this time, he suffered much physical pain. He never flinched in the face of trouble. His strong resolve eventually made him a British hero. His strong resolve made him a hero. In a decisive battle, Lord Nelson led England to victory against Napoleon at Trafalgar. He was a man who was totally committed to his country. His determination made him unstoppable. Should Christians not be more committed to serve the one who gave his life to redeem us? What does it take to stop you from being faithful to God? All people will face crisis at different times in their lives, and often they are unexpected turns. Yet, I believe most people would want to say what the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life, there on your worksheet, 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Wow, Paul was ready to go see Jesus again. Joseph, too, was a man who had finished his course. He was a man who suffered, yet he remained faithful to God. In many ways, he was like the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was rejected by his brothers. So was Jesus. Joseph was loved by his father. So was Jesus. Joseph was victorious over temptation, just as Jesus was. Joseph was taken into custody because of a false witness, just like Jesus. Joseph suffered from doing what was right. So did our Lord. Joseph was promoted from prison to rule the nation. Jesus was promoted from prison to rule the nations, to rule the world. As we examine Joseph's journey, we admire his strength to remain faithful to God through all the trials, temptations, and blessings that came into his life. He was a man who was greatly used by God, a true Bible hero. The secret of Joseph's strength of character was his unconditional faith in God. No matter what happened to him, his faith remained unshakable. Again, a great example. So, let's notice Joseph's journey for God. Number one, it was a journey of faith. It was a journey of faith. You know, it's like Moses and Abraham. The journey of faith often starts with a physical journey. You know, that they tie together sometimes. You know, you set out physically, and God will use that journey to build on you on your journey of faith. The story begins with Jacob in Genesis 35, 1 through 5. So then God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. Change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. God went with them on their journey, there in verse 5, and the enemies wouldn't come after them. Their reputation went with them. Well, faith is trusting in God's plan. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You want rewards? Diligently seek him. What Hebrews tells us. So letter A, Jacob had the faith to receive God's revelation. The faith to receive the revelation. From our text, Genesis 37:5 says again, "And Joseph dreamed in a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." I think he probably had the idea that this wasn't going to go over very good. You know, by then they're already speaking evil of him and didn't like him. But he told him the dream. God revealed his plan to Joseph in the dream, which gave him a glimpse of God's plan for his life. God revealed the time when Joseph would be a ruler and others would bow to him, and that he would one day rule over his brothers. Joseph's dream was of prophetic value. Dreams in ancient times were much attended to. Hence, Joseph's dream, though he was a mere boy, engaged the serious consideration of his family. It takes faith to receive and believe the truths found in the Word of God. But may we, like Joseph, exercise our faith to receive God's Word and apply it to our lives. I'm going to be looking at two more big dreams later on today. So it's a good day about dreaming, I guess. Well, on your worksheet, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You know, the world loves to say, well, this is just the words of men, you know. But that's not what we believe. It wasn't just men writing the Bible. The Bible tells us it is his word, the very words of God as given to his servants. Don't buy into that world's false tale that it's just men. So then, letter B, Joseph had the faith to recite God's revelation. Recite it. Receive it. We need to take it in, but we also need to give it out. Genesis 37:6-8 again said, "And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." In other words, they bowed down. "And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Joseph acknowledged his revelation from God, and he had the faith to share it with his brothers. Resentment built in the hearts of his older brothers as Joseph recited the details of the dream to them. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." So just like Joseph, we're to speak it out whether we're going to please somebody or not, even your brothers. Just as Joseph shared the news of his dream with his brothers, we must also be willing to speak, to share the good news of the gospel with those around us. It may not be easy, and they may not happily receive you, but doing so pleases God and demonstrates our faith in him. You know, I remember I had a story when I was first saved. You're excited and you're telling your friends. It doesn't find out too long. A lot of your friends don't want to hear about it, you know. And I just remember sharing with the guy that led me to the Lord Right about that time, I don't know if you remember Coast soap. I think it's still out there. I loved the smell of that soap. I'd shower 3 times a day just so I could use a Coast soap. Just loved it. Tried it here a couple years ago, didn't like it as much. But anyway, I mean, stolen the virtues of this new soap to the guy that led me to the Lord. You know, go, no, this, you got to do this, you got to do that. And it just kind of hit me, go, man, I ought to be sharing the gospel like this. You know, how can you be so excited about a bar of soap when the real cleansing comes from God and His salvation? Anyway, that little internal lesson has stuck with me for 40 years, something like that. Yeah, nobody's counting. Thank you. All right. But his brothers did not like Joseph's dream, but it was not his dream. It was God's dream. Your neighbors may not like the gospel message, but it's not your message. It's God's.
That's right.
This truth can bring great faith and confidence into the heart of the believer. I know, having to get over that hump. It's not me trying to do this. It's the Word of God. You can take it or leave it. It's not going to affect me. You know, and it's just that truth that it, you know, yeah, we want them to believe, but it's God that they're rejecting, not us, not us. God had a special purpose for Joseph's life. Though he did not disclose every event along the journey, he promised to be with Joseph each step of the way. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and your conversation there is your life, without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As God was with Joseph, so he will be with us on our journeys of faith. He knows what we need, and he will lovingly direct each step as we allow him to do so and as we respond in faith. Next, we see that it was a journey of faithfulness, a journey of faithfulness. And I was just even having this kind of be similar spoke to me, because we have faith. We go, okay, yeah. But a different difference was made with faithfulness. You know, there's two sides of faith. Yeah, we have the faith when we hear people say, I've got the faith. Well, but then we need to be faithful with that.
Yeah, that's good.
It really comes back to trust and obey. Yeah. You know, we trust him in faith. But our faithfulness is that obedience when we act out in faithfulness. And I just thought that was such a good contrast that you really need to demonstrate both. Are we really trusting if we're not obeying? Do we really have faith if we're not living a faithful life? It's things that we need to determine. You know, James 2:18 says, you know, I'll show you your faith by your works.
That's right.
You have faith, but we need to show it. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We need to be found faithful. Although no one plans for suffering, it is inevitable. I'm sorry, it is. When Joseph's journey brought him through the times of despair, he simply remained faithful. When he was sold into slavery by his brothers, he remained steadfast. God took Joseph on a journey that at times seemed to be headed in the opposite direction of his expected end. Boy, the first part of his life, you wouldn't think that anybody'd be bowing down to this guy. You know, sold in slavery and cast in prison. But he continued to trust God. Though Joseph could have quit many times, he never doubted. He never wavered, even when circumstances seemed to destroy his dream. He kept doing what he knew God wanted him to do, and each trial strengthened his faith. Every experience prepared Joseph to fulfill God's purpose for his life. God was preparing. Things were getting ready. Even when, letter A, when he was betrayed by his brothers, even when he's betrayed, Joseph's brothers envied of him, terribly jealous, and then they betrayed him. Yet Joseph remained faithful. Genesis 37, there on your worksheet. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. His father took note of it. Even he was upset with him, but he took note of it. Going, okay. Joseph's brothers persecuted him and actually planned to kill him. But instead, they cast him into a pit. Through all of this, Joseph remained faithful. We do not read of him retaliating or getting even. He chose to trust God. Genesis 37:20, again on your worksheet. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. They couldn't wait to get rid of this kid, you know, and he concocted this lie. At least they didn't kill him. Each of us will experience seasons of opposition in our lives. But we must remember that God is always in control. We can learn from Joseph's brothers that God's plans, even our enemies. Kind of thought about that. God plans our enemies. Wow. Kind of distressing. But our enemies may envy us and persecute us through gossip or slander, yet they are serving God's purpose in our lives, serving purpose in your life to have enemies. How's that? God can use the trying circumstances in ways you wouldn't even imagine. Just so true, the growth that we can come out of that and how we learn to deal with those things. God has something for us to go through those experiences. And we might not know it. We might not understand it till farther along. Right. Farther along. Then we'll understand why. It took Joseph 20 years. You know, we get a little upset if it's 20 hours,
that's right.
20 days. Well, Joseph was faithful also when he was sold by his brethren, when he was sold. Again on the worksheet, Genesis 37:27-28. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Journey to Egypt really got on track. Jealousy and envy developed in the hearts of Joseph's brothers who betrayed him and sold him into slavery, telling Jacob, their father, that Joseph was dead. Do you ever feel your family or friends don't appreciate you? Remember Joseph. And remember God appreciates us in our faithfulness. 2 Timothy 3:12 on the worksheet. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Again, sorry, but we're going to suffer persecution. So we might as well buck up and be faithful. I like it. It is required of a man that he be faithful, not successful. And I like that. Required of a man to be faithful, not successful. Looking back at the story of Joseph, being sold into slavery seemed to be the opposite of success. And we're going to talk a little bit later today about we're going to touch on the widow's mite and that story. I found a couple interesting things on that I think you'll like. And just the opposite. You know, she had nothing, but yet she's mentioned forever in the scriptures about that. And it was opposite of God's plans for him. For Joseph, what looked like an unchangeable tragedy was another step in God's journey for him. Joseph's faith never wavered. He knew God was in control. God was the planner. Joseph was only the instrument in God's hand. And so Joseph was faithful in letter C when he was blessed in Egypt. Even when he was blessed. Genesis 39:2 there tells us, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Joseph continued to remain faithful through manifold suffering. He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, accused wrongly, and imprisoned unjustly. Nevertheless, through each circumstance, Joseph's faith was strengthened, and God blessed him on his journey. 1 Peter 5:10 tells us, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Some of the suffering goes through is to establish us, perfect us, and especially to strengthen us, I think. Yes, God formed Joseph's life and found him faithful through trials and testing. But perhaps the greatest test Joseph would face was being exalted and being very successful. Notice Pharaoh's accolades of Joseph. They're on your worksheet, Genesis 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed ye all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto my word, thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Wow. To some, being made a ruler of Egypt would be a dream come true. But in reality, Joseph was called to occupy a position that was difficult and heavily laden with responsibility. Being second only to the ruler of Egypt brought a new temptation. While some may boast and take credit for their achievements, Joseph did not. He realized God had raised him up. "But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another," Psalm 75:7 tells us. To remain faithful and dependent on God was a great challenge. Sadly, I've known many people that the more successful they got, the further away they got from God. You know, they took their success and their wealth and they kind of figured they had done it and you know, just moved away from their faith. Joseph was not like that. He's a good example of the more successful, the even more faith it would grow. Joseph remained steadfast in his faith. He never forgot who blessed him. Therefore, God blessed everything that he did. In the story of Lee Iacocca, the legendary car maker, he wrote in his autobiography, he started out as the CEO of Ford and then of Chrysler. He's a pretty famous businessman. "Here I am in the twilight years of my life, still wondering what it's all about. I can tell you this, fame and fortune is for the birds." And kind of a sad end. I just hope someone was able to share with him what it was all about before he died. As I tried to Google that a little bit, one of his big leaders at Chrysler actually left his employ to go serve on the mission field. And everybody was just amazed at this, you know, muck-de-muck left the big company to go do that. So I certainly think he probably tried to share with Lee Iacocca. Hopefully he took his word for it. Well, Joseph was faithful, D, when he was unjustly accused. Genesis 39:7-9 tells us, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Well, we see there the list of things on the worksheet. Number one, Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce Joseph. Again, in a response indicative of his faithfulness to God, he refused the temptation. Joseph was willing to lose a coveted position in the world in order to maintain his integrity. The reference there on the worksheet, 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Temptations will come, and they take many different forms. A believer who is faithful to God will strive to remain a clean vessel for his use. Today, as in Joseph's day, a person who wants to serve God must guard against choosing wrong when tempted. Satan will try any method to derail us and derail you from God's purpose for your life. Maintain your integrity. Choose to follow God and stay pure. That's our challenge this morning. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Then number two, Joseph was faithful to God. Someone said, Joseph lost his coat, but kept his character. Like that. And another person stated, character isn't created in a crisis. It only comes to light then. It's really the crisis that brings out the character. It doesn't create it. Third, he was imprisoned for his faith. Genesis 39:20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Then fourth, God's mercy sustained him. Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Yeah, they cast him in there, but pretty soon he found favor with the guard. And then number five, because the Lord was with him. The Lord is with him. The story continued, Genesis 39:23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord is with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He got good attention there just by doing what God would have him to do and being faithful. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. I like that. You know, our ways please the Lord, God can take care of our enemies and have them live at peace. Again, 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Be found faithful. God does not say we have to be rich, strong, or talented to serve him. The one requirement God places on us is that we be found faithful. When we are, he promises to accomplish his will in our lives. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. A wonderful promise to us. Doesn't say we have to be anything special. Just follow him. God will carry out his work in your life until it is complete. He will not leave it unfinished. He will give you the grace needed to continue your journey of faith. Well, and we all need to be on a journey, number three, of forgiveness. We need to be on a journey of forgiveness. Forgiveness must be a key ingredient found in the life of every Christian. Unforgiveness breeds bitterness that can result in a life that is ineffective and useless in the Lord's work. One of the great signs of Joseph's effectiveness was his ability to endure without resentment. As told us in Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which there is no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness can cause a lot of problems and destroys our witness. We need to not do that. Satan delights in causing conflict among Christians. If he can get you to hold a grudge against another, that grudge can easily consume your thoughts and can blind your eyes to God's blessings. Hearts consumed with bitterness and unforgiveness keep Christians from going forward on their journey for faith. We can all get off track if we harbor forgiveness and get resentful. Is there someone this morning that you have refused to forgive? Psalm 34:14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. May we learn from the example of Joseph and follow the pattern of Jesus Christ as we strive to forgive others on our journeys. According to Joseph's original dream, his brethren had come to him for help. They had come to Egypt twice for food. The first time, Joseph recognized his brothers at once. They, however, could not recognize their brother who had not been seen for 20 years and had risen to a great leader. They certainly weren't expecting that, and so they didn't see it, didn't recognize him. On their first encounter, Joseph acted as a foreigner. He kept Simeon and sent the other brothers on their way with instructions to return with Benjamin, his little brother. Then they returned a second time. Notice Joseph's response this time. Letter A, he forgave his brothers. Genesis 45, 1 through 5 tells the story. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Even though he sent him out of the room, they could still hear him crying over his brothers. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Took their breath away, going, "Oh my goodness." You know, couldn't even answer him. And Joseph, verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt." Kind of, so they'd make sure they recognized, told him what they'd done. You know, they didn't know. This guy knows what we did. Must be our brother. Verse 5, "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Farther along, he understood why. Joseph realized that God had used all the incidents in his life to bring him to this place of honor, and he did not take offense for the wounds his brother had inflicted. Instead, he realized it was all a part of God's amazing plan, and he forgave his brothers completely. Just totally forgave. Wow. Bigger man than me. It's an incredible story. Great story of Clara Barton. And I remember as a kid that I did a report, one of the first reports that I remember ever doing. I don't know if it was junior high or grade school, but the founder of the American Red Cross, great lady. She was reminded one day of a vicious deed that someone had done to her years before. But she acted as if she had never even heard of the incident. Her friend said, "Don't you remember it?" "No," came Barton's reply. "I distinctly remember forgetting it." I love that. "I distinctly remember forgetting it and moving on." Well, God is eager to forgive us. He doesn't even remember it. John 1:9 there on the worksheet. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." He did it for us. We should pay it forward. Even as Joseph was rejected by his own, Jesus Christ, who came nearly 2,000 years later, was rejected by his own and was crucified on the cross. He offers salvation and forgiveness to all who believe. As Christ has so mercifully forgiven us, may we learn to forgive others as well. And if you don't know this morning that your sins are indeed forgiven, just reach out to someone this morning and let us know, and let us show you how you can know your sins are forgiven. And then we can forgive others. Well then, Joseph, letter B, he showed the grace of God. He showed the grace of God. The first time his brethren came, he placed their money back in their sacks. Remember the story, Genesis 42:25 on the worksheet. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And then on letter C, he showed the purpose of God. He showed the purpose. Genesis 45:7 there says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." He shared with them the reason why. Just like Joseph and his brothers, your circumstances are directed by God. He has an eternal purpose for each step of your journey. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." If we follow his steps that he's ordered, we can be delighted as we go along that journey. May we allow God to fulfill his purposes by taking each step as he orders it and by trusting him along the way. And on your worksheet, Romans 8:28 tells us, "We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." We're called to his purpose, and they'll work together if we follow that. And then finally, letter D, he focused on the Lord. How often we get our focus off, don't we? After Jacob died, the brothers thought Joseph would take revenge on them. You know, they knew what they had done. You know, they basically got getting their revenge on him being the favored son. And so that's what they expected to be done with them. Even after he forgave them, you know, it's kind of, they just go, he's plotting something. You know, we plotted against him. Why wouldn't he do it back? That was their mindset. Instead, Joseph focused on the Lord and his purposes. They're on the worksheet, Genesis 50:19-21. "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Wow. No recrimination at all, just forgiveness, taking care of him, showing his actions matched his words, faithfulness following his faith. Joseph saw a heavenly perspective. God meant it for good. Do you see earthly situations from a heavenly perspective? We need to. Interruptions of our plans are divine appointments. Learn to see God as the one in control. Learn to see his hand in every situation. Joseph also met an earthly need. He comforted his brothers and spake kindly to them. When we focus on the Lord, our actions will be Christ-like and Christ-honoring. As we walk on our journeys of faith, may we learn to focus on the Lord, just as Joseph did. If we keep our eyes on him, you know, how does the song go? The rest of the world grows strangely dim. You know, we can stay on the path and do what he would have us to do. Joseph's journey to Egypt was unplanned, but it was all according to God's plan. Joseph is an example to us of the steadfast commitment we should have as Christians. At the end of his journey for the faith, Joseph was at all times found faithful. His journey may not have gone according to his plans, but it went according to God's plans. His life brought delight and honor to God as a result. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we are so thankful for your word and this story of Joseph, a true biblical hero for us to emulate, Lord, to try to be so much like him. Help. We just pray, Lord, that we would bring delight and honor to you as a result of our journey of faith, of stepping out in faith and being obedient to your word and just to show our faithfulness to you. Lord, help us to be a forgiving people, to love others despite their shortcomings and their grievances, and to love you even more, even as we go through difficult times. Help us to see your hand in that and what you are teaching us through those times, Lord, in bringing us through and making us stronger. Oh, God, help us to grow in you, I pray, this morning in our faith and in your grace. We thank you for it and ask it in Jesus' precious, wonderful, glorious, and loving name. Amen. All right, next week, number 5 is the journey to Sinai. We go back to, we saw Moses as a baby. We'll see Moses at an older age on the journey to Sinai. And we'll look forward to that. And then time to be dismissed. We'll sing our hymn, our theme song, if you'd like, I Am Resolved. I think we might change that to further along next week. Anyway, praise God. Thanks for coming. God bless you. We'll see you back here in 15 minutes. God bless.